Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Big day here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. It is the Cleveland Browns Foundation Radiothon, and we're urging you to get involved, get online, and bid on these unbelievable auctions that support the Cleveland Browns Foundation. You can go to clevelandbrowns.com right now and bid on some unbelievable items and experiences. And one of those items is going to take place with our first guest here on the show, who we're going to kick off with in just a few minutes. And that is the opportunity to watch film and have lunch with the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer. When you say that this is a priceless experience, folks, it is absolutely a priceless experience. And all the money you spent goes to a great, great cause here with the Cleveland Browns Foundation. So certainly we're very excited to be with you for the next 2 hours. We have some great guests lined up for you. In addition to the general manager, Ray Farmer, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Brian Hoyer, will be with us. And speaking of right now, the man walking in wearing some sick KD Nike IDs with his suit, as only he can do, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, live with us now in the Dog Bowl. And, sir, it is great to be with you here for the Browns Radiothon.
It's always great to be here.
It's always great to be with you. And before we get into it, I know you just spent some time today at the Walton School in Cleveland, one of the schools that the Cleveland Browns Foundation supports, spending some time with the kids, bringing some ice cream. How did that go?
It was awesome. I think the initiative in itself is definitely one that we want to maintain a commitment to with the Browns. I know it's our second year there with the Walton School, and they're doing phenomenal work. The kids were amazing. The message is really impeccable. I think, you know, we talked about hard work and we talked about getting smart. And those are two simple core fundamentals that we wanted to stick on. And we attributed that to what we do at the Browns as to what they do in their daily school lives.
Ray, so happy to have you here for a tremendous cause. This is going to be a lot of fun. I know not only today, but also into tomorrow. But let's also talk about what's happening on the field. How good do you feel about the way things went in the sense of, yes, it's a loss, but a lot of encouragement in that second half of the game that a lot of us have talked about. And I know it's a bottom line business, and that's, you and I talked immediately after the game, that's your focus. But as you've had a couple of days now to reflect, what are your thoughts about just this team so far as we get the season started?
I think the team is it's in a growing stage. I think that's where we wanted to be. We knew where we'd be there. I'm excited to see the young guys play. I think that's really what my focus is on, is watching guys get those opportunities to make the most of them. Is the outcome what we wanted? Absolutely not. But I think inevitably there are things that you can take away that are positives, and I think I'm going to focus on those right now.
And speaking of getting to watch these things happen, one of the unbelievable items that you can go to clevelandbrowns.com right now and bid on as a part of the Cleveland Browns Foundation Radiothon is the opportunity to sit with you, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, and watch film, have lunch. What would the winner of that item get to do with you? Walk them through that experience. Because to me,
you just said it.
It sounds priceless, but I mean, that's an unbelievable opportunity to sit with a professional talent evaluator. There are only 32 general managers in the world in the National Football League to kind of get there and have that experience. That's something that you don't hear fans get the opportunity to have very often.
No, I really wanted to give the fans an opportunity to sit with me and just really talk ball and understand what it is day-to-day to sit, not only evaluate our team, take a look at a couple other players around the league, get their thoughts and feedback to what they see versus what the realities are from, I would say, myself, and I may involve a couple other people in that process. So it just gives us an idea and gives that person or those people a chance to really see behind the curtain of what really goes on.
You want to know what goes on in the NFL. You want to know what it's like to be involved in a pro personnel department. Get this. It's $750 right now. If you guys don't step it up, I'm going to win it, and you're going to have to spend more time with me, Mr. Farmer. So go to clevelandbrowns.com right now. You can build on the film and lunch with the general manager of the Browns. Unbelievable opportunity.
Yeah, it's priceless to do this, and it doesn't happen routinely. I can go back. I've been in this business long enough, Ray, even before you, believe it or not, to where Bill Polian, one of the all-time great general managers in the history of the game, used to invite me down to his office in training camp in a dorm room, and we'd watch film, the old 16-millimeter film.
Oh, yeah.
And it was such an enlightening, engaging experience to have him review sort of the day's practice and give you those insights. So let's move it up to 2014, and when someone pays the right price for this, because $750 isn't getting it done, when that person is not at all, that's just a too much of a bargain. To sit with you, walk us through what it's like when you sit and watch tape. What do you, some of the things you look for and how you go about it?
Well, it's really a methodical process. I think every single day we review the practices. So we may review practice. I doubt I'll let them actually watch practice. We'll probably work into like some game tape and watch one of the previous games that we've had, or look at players that we're currently looking at that may be on the street and get some opinions. But the realities behind watching the tape, it's twofold. It's, am I watching for an opponent and I'm actually watching to break down somebody else that we're going to play, or am I actually watching for just the talent process? So for me, there's two very different ways that you actually watch the tape and what you're focused on. In that, if we're going to focus on players, which we probably will for this exercise, then there's really a lot of different pieces to the puzzle. There's critical factors, there's major factors, there's little pieces of the puzzle that will pull out the intangibles that we'll add to the side. But there's a chart. We work from a chart. We work from a methodology of how we do our work. And then as you go through that process for every individual position, you take your notes, you keep track, you chart your own stats, you go through a rigorous process to make sure that you're identifying all the pieces to the player that are there before you make a final determination.
Because ultimately, isn't talent evaluation and the draft the lifeblood of an NFL franchise?
Truly. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I know I've said this before. One of my core tenets is draft, develop, and retain. You know, we got to find the right guys that we want to be Browns that fit from not only a talent perspective but a character perspective as well. And then we want to advance those guys throughout our culture, developing them into leaders, into great players, and then develop inevitably a team that can win a championship here in Cleveland.
So at this stage of the season, because the hay is totally in the barn with respect to evaluating.
Always in the
barn. Okay, well, that's where I'm going. Because in large part, your job changes now because you're not in the evaluation of college talent per se for a draft. But you start that process, your scouts are on the road. But walk us through what a GM does now that the season is underway.
The season is underway, and I'm really focused on who's on this football team. What are we doing week to week? Can we get incrementally better by taking guys from other teams? Is there somebody on the street that was overlooked? Is there a guy that helps us get better week to week? And we'll manage the guys that are injured on our roster. We'll manage the guys that are currently on our roster and the reps that they get. And inevitably, the reps part is a little bit out of my control, but nevertheless, continuing to advance the talent is a core part of what we're going to do day to day.
And as you assess, you have a current team, but every player on this squad, or the vast majority of them, are measured against what's available, right? You're good to
constantly be
a Brown right now. It's possible tomorrow if player X is out there and you have him higher rated, you would make a change.
We communicate constantly in not only in our own circles between scouts and coaches and the people in the front office and the coaching staff, but even to our players that at the end of the day, your competition is not just against the guys in this room. The competition is league-wide. And if there is somebody else that you can trade for, if there's a person that you can acquire that's on the street, if there's a guy that's on a practice squad, if there's a guy that you just happen to come across that you think is better than where you're currently at, some of those roster changes are fluid. And that's the unfortunate part, I'll say, to some of the guys in the locker room, is that you're constantly competing against not only yourself but everybody else that's available to us. And as those guys come and go, we make those decisions daily.
And, Ray, one of the decisions that you've made, a lot of changes on the offensive side of the ball. There were a lot of questions around the wide receiver position, et cetera. But to go into Pittsburgh in that second half and not have Ben Tate, who was supposed to be the starting running back, we know what happened with Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron was out, and to throw up 288 yards of offense on the Steelers in Pittsburgh, 121 yards rushing from two rookies, Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell, a guy you brought in, Andrew Hawkins, leading this team in receiving. How gratifying was it to see some of the pieces that you've added really start to flourish that quickly, even though they probably weren't expected to flourish that quickly given injury situations that gave them opportunities?
Again, Coach Pettine has said this numerous times, and I'll just reiterate it. It's next man up. That's the National Football League. That's the charge that every guy in that locker room is held to. And so it doesn't matter if Jordan Cameron goes down, or the guy behind Jordan Cameron goes down, or the next guy goes down, somebody's going to have to play. And inevitably, it's my job to make sure that next guy has the talent and skill level to give him a chance to succeed on Sundays. And that's really what we're focused on.
When you break down tape, and somebody, again, go to ClevelandBrowns.com, bid right now on the unbelievable opportunity to have lunch and watch film with the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, and support the Cleveland Browns Foundation. When you break down a game, let's say the Pittsburgh game, who jumped out at you in that game that was a real pleasant surprise?
Wow. Putting me on the spot. Let's see. Who stood out to me? Several people. Do I have to answer this question with a definitive?
Can you throw us a little about Crow?
Yeah, Crow had a good game. Crow had a good game. You mentioned Crow, so I'll
you'll go with that.
I'll go with that.
You'll go with that.
He'll co-sign my Crow.
I like Crow. I liked what I saw from him. Buck Wild Billy Wynn.
When you're doing
I'll co-sign that one too.
All right, good. There we go.
When you're along those lines of what Nathan just brought up, though, so the coaches are the teachers, right? They got to go through and watch and evaluate mostly on the basis of what to correct, right? That's their we'll agree that's their primary thing. When you're watching that game, though. You'll pick those mistakes out and those other things that they're seeing, but you're really watching it with a different eye, right? In terms of like the here and now, your assessment of what that game was like is not going to necessarily be parallel to a coach's thing, because the coach's responsibility is more specific to fixing things and prepping for game number two.
And again, in broad strokes, I would tell you that there's a general or generic thought that coaches are, like you said, they're teachers. And they're going to put the checks and the minuses and the pluses of, okay, here's what happened. Here's who did their assignments. Here's how this tape graded out. From an evaluation perspective as a personnel guy, again, broad strokes, is that we're looking at the evaluation perspective of, is this guy capable of playing in the National Football League? Is this the best that he has? Is this all that he has? Where is he at on his learning curve? And right now I'm looking at the donation tracker. So it's similar to that. If this guy's at 40% of what he's capable of, then, you know, we know there's more in the tank. If we think he's already at 100% of what he's capable of and it's not good enough, then it'll put him in a different position as to how we look at him moving forward. Moving that talent forward is really what I'm focused on, and driving that competition and knowing that we may have, to steal one from Nathan, we may have only scratched the surface with Crowell, then there's more in the tank to come. But if a guy is already at that limit and he's giving you all he's got, you know he's a pro, he's at the end of the rope, that's a different circumstance.
And is it, for sake of a better term, true separation of church and state, or do you, with respect to coaching staff, personnel staff, do you then kind of weave those thoughts together, the ones you were just expressing on what you're looking for, with those of Mike Pettin and staff, and get specific about what the coaches should know based on your evaluation?
We do. I mean, Coach Pettin and I work in unison on every decision that's made to this roster. Again, to not kind of drive this or make people think that it's bigger than it is, because it's not. Our job is really predicated on us figuring out how to make this work for both parties. I mean, I know I want to drive the talent. I could easily go out and just say, hey, look, coach, guess what? We're trading this guy. We're trading that guy. We're getting young. We're going. That's not the right way to orchestrate this. There has to be a balance and a give and take between both sides of who do they need to play? How does it need to go? How does it need to be orchestrated? And trust me when I tell you, we spend an inordinate amount of hours discussing who we need to have on this roster, who's playing well, how did I view it versus how they viewed it. We meet constantly about how to make those things match up. And if that ebb and flow, when that ebb and flow comes together, which I think it does on a daily basis in our building, then is when you find the right decisions. So that's what we're focused on, is getting those right decisions.
And getting those together, moving forward with the Cleveland Browns. And this is the Cleveland Browns Foundation Radiothon. The Cleveland Browns Foundation is dedicated to making a positive impact on our community by focusing on education reform in Northeast Ohio. You can bid right now on unbelievable items. We talked about getting to watch film and have lunch with our guest right now, the general manager of the Browns, Ray Farmer. They also there's an opportunity to spend pregame with general manager Ray Farmer. And Ray, that one already at $2,000. I love that. What would people get to do with you before a game? Walk them through your mindset prior to a game.
Prior to a game, it's pretty simple for me. I mean, the hay's in the barn. At this point, I'm ready to actually watch the game and really get on to how we're going to perform. But I'll spend a lot of time focused on the other team. Like, I won't even watch us in pregame. I'll be focused completely on the opponent. And so for the person that's coming, we'll start to discuss how they should really look at the game, how they should view the game, what the critical matchups are, the average fan just watches the ball. Wherever the ball goes, that's where their eyes go. There's so much more to football that really makes it a unique sport. So trying to give them some insight of, hey, watch this matchup. The game's going to hinge on, can this guy block this guy? Hey, watch this matchup. We're looking for this, this, and this. Giving some insight as to exactly how the game is played and what makes the difference between winning and losing is what we're going to talk about, what we're going to discuss, where the holes are on their roster, what the matchups are in our favor, those types of things. Those are the things that really make football interesting.
One thing that I think a lot of fans, especially in this fantasy football age, are curious about is, in fantasy football, it's so easy to say, hey, we're good at this position, you're not, you're good at this position, we're not, let's make a trade. What are the difficulties in actually putting together? Because people make comments all the time, oh, we should just trade for this or trade for that. When you're actually the general manager, you have these negotiations and these talks all the time, but what makes it so hard to actually get trades done in the NFL?
Need. Like, everyone thinks that they have somebody on their roster that can perform the task that you're trying to trade a guy to do. So now, What is that need like? Again, people would tell you outrightly that, oh, we should trade for somebody. We should just go get somebody. Well, what if I don't feel we have a need? Then there really is no need to trade for anything.
Right.
And so you may think that you know someone's roster. You may think that you have an idea of what they're going through. You really don't know how a team feels about any specific player or players or group of players on their roster. So unless you're in their building, as an outsider, you can say, they don't have to want anything. They can just tell you that I'm completely comfortable with where I'm at, and what you're asking for that is ludicrous. And so if you don't, you know, then it's a value question. If I value something more than you value it, then, you know, I got a higher price than you're willing to pay. So now we got to come to some agreements as to you may want, what I have, but then what are you willing to pay for that? And if those two, if those don't match up, we still can't make a deal. So there's a lot of hurdles to cross between actually pulling off a trade and, you know, deciding the needs.
And isn't it true that the other major, major difference between reality football and fantasy football is that when it comes to making a trade, making a deal, you have other factors in terms of your ability to acquire players. Blockbusters don't happen anymore because free agency gives you the opportunity to, quote, get the blockbuster guy. You're procuring through the draft. I mean, those tenants are probably more influential than the most influential to the reduction of the so-called blockbuster trades. They rarely happen.
They rarely happen because I would tell you that if you trade for any commodity, then you're paying retail price. So what am I giving? And I got to pay retail price. So I'm losing two resources. I'm losing money that I'm going to have to pay, and I'm losing a resource that could potentially get me a younger player through the draft or whatever they may want and trade-off value for that. So, you know, then this is impetus to the thing, and we have the cap. You can't get around the cap.
Yep.
So guess what? Yeah. If I got a player and he costs $15 million against the cap, and I'm trying to trade him to a team that only has $6 million in room,
can't do it.
Done. So it doesn't matter if they have the need, they want the player or not. They can't make the trade if they wanted to. So, you know, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle that you have to take into consideration. And teams, I will say this, there's a lot of teams that you communicate with, and they may like the player that you want to trade or that you want to trade for, and they may say, you know what, I consider that, but I just can't do it right now. And so you run into this flow, you run into this conversation of, we can make this deal, we can make it happen, but in some respects, somebody's going to overpay. And I think that's what you got to really be conscious and slow walk on is, I don't want to be the guy to overpay. So blockbuster trades, we'll walk slow with those.
That's know. Right. Yeah. The general manager, Ray Farmer, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Are you kicking me out?
We get you. You're out, man. You're a popular guy. You got places to go, things to do, film to watch.
I do. I'm gonna go be a man of film.
Man, the MOF right over there. That's right. And you can watch film with the general manager. Have lunch with him. Bid on it right now. ClevelandBrowns.com. Also, spend pregame with the general manager of the Browns at ClevelandBrowns.com for a great cause, the Cleveland Browns Foundation. Radiothon coming up next. Oh, yes, Mr. Farmer.
I just want to say one more thing. For everyone out there, we talk about Give 10 and giving back. You know, what we did today at the Walton School, I would encourage everybody out there listening, spend time in your community. Spend time with kids. Spend time encouraging people to get education. Spend time encouraging kids to do better and to work hard. They truly are the future of Cleveland. So if we don't take care of our young people, we don't give them those opportunities, we don't give them time, and that's really what love is when you spend time. And I'll be the first to tell you, my wife would tell you probably more than me, so I guess I'm second in that line, that you have to give back. You have to spend that time. And whether it's your own kids, whether it's other kids, get as involved as you can with the community because it's important to give that time back.
Beautiful message.
Great words. Great words from the general manager of the Browns here. We'll be back next with the quarterback of the Browns, Brian Hoyer, on the Cleveland Browns Foundation Radiothon here on Cleveland Browns Daily.